The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is September 30th, 2014, and we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And today, we have the honor of a brand new guest, Travis Futrell. He, for any of you who don't know, I got his name from Amanda Ballou, who's been on the show, who is awesome. Well, Travis works with Amanda, and Amanda glows when she says his name. So, for any of you who don't know who he is, he's a former power. Well, he's never a former lifter of anything. He's a power lifter, and he works with athletes, wrestlers, just big people that want to get big and strong. And you know, this is what I like. So, Travis, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, because my listeners, I know, are going to like you.
Yeah, well, I was a good high school jock, good football player and wrestler. I went on to, after college, I went on to really pursue powerlifting. I'm from Richmond, Kentucky, which is, I don't know what's in the water down there. I think it's just everybody seeing other people work hard and squat and do basic lifts and bust their ass. You know, we got Brandon Lilly. We've got Katrina Trout. I mean, all those people and are from Kentucky. And I think it's just a work ethic, it's a blue collar. I mean, everybody talks about Pittsburgh and all that. This is Appalachia, son. This is, you know, this is where I still am. These people work hard. They go after something with a work ethic. And I think that blue collar coal mining, you know, take your lunch back to work every day was seen in the weight room. And that's,
well, you know, Travis,
there's so many badasses come out of that, and I think it's just, you know, seeing other people bust their ass. That's
I agree. And you know what? America's different now a little bit. I mean, we're in kind of a different situation with weightlifting, but you can pick the winners and the losers all the time. There's a lot of posers out there,
right,
but there's people that still understand a work ethic, and nothing's going to come to you for nothing. You know,
right,
and that's the problem now. Everybody wants something for nothing. You want to play around with this kind of dynamite, try that, and it'll break your body in half. You know, don't pay attention. Don't focus. But
right,
you know what I want to get – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm disagreeing with you. Go ahead.
Well, let's get into – you know, you're into this like me, and you're dealing with obviously a lot more athletes than me. What do you – you know, obviously we just said we agree upon we love basics. And, you know, I said to you before we came on camera that, you know, anybody doesn't believe, you know, in my situation, lifting stones and wanting to go to Scotland next year and all that, you know, if you're not pressing, if you're not deadlifting, if you're not squatting, where the hell do you think you're going to go? And
right,
what do you now, with what you're into especially, do you see that, are these athletes wanting to get away from that, or are you finding them like same, or are they attacking it more?
Well,
is there a trans?
I
go ahead.
The pro athletes I worked with, I worked with Sam Gash, who's an all pup time or two time Pro Bowl fullback for New England. And Buffalo. I mean, he was a battering ram, is what he was, and we had a lot of the same. Excuse me, same injury, so we were a good fit, and he had wrist issues, which I've had mine fused, but anyhow, he was to a point, you know, I don't think it was going, he was think this was, I was training two years before he retired, and he was just trying to be healthy. And the stuff, this was, I worked with him primarily in 2005, and he has been in the leagues for, you know, 13 years. So
right.
I don't think he needed that. We did a lot of, we didn't even call it back then, you know, back in 2005, mobility work. I was actually, believe it or not, I'm a yoga instructor, but I've gone in and out in fear call. Everybody, you know, Diamond Dallas Page was a yoga instructor in early 2000. Every NFL team had some willy yoga. So I went for it, too, if that's the way it's going. And, you know, I think with Kelly Starrett and the mobility and Donnie Thompson, they're saying, okay, you know, let's just go right for what the athletes need and what the lifters need as far as mobility. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of gotten out of the yoga. But anyhow, stuff like that is what he needed. My kids who are in high school and even younger, hell yeah. Teach them how to squat right. Yep. Teach them kettlebells, you know, teach them a kettlebell swing. You know, you don't have to be teaching them, which is cool if you want to see. I'm seeing some young Olympic lifters doing some badass shit with Travis Mash, which I've not worked with him, but he was a colleague of mine here in town. I learned a lot from him. But, you know, getting farmer's carries, you know, fucking working. That whole cock diesel farmer strong, that ain't no joke, man.
No, really.
You know, these farm boys come off, and they're some of the best linemen.
Absolutely, you ever see
that you'll ever do, because they've got that base. What we were talking.
You remember old Joe Klecko?
Yeah, of course, big blonde haired.
He was a badass. You know, it was funny, man, because I mean, I was a little kid, but the other night it was hilarious. I was flipping through, and the first Smokey and the Bandit was on, or it was the second. I think it was in the second one. It was.
He rolls out
and he gets out
with those fibs.
And he gets out of the truck, man. Yeah. It's like, whoa, you know. And it was like, it was cool, you know. Strength to me is like, strength is one of the most passionate things I've ever come across in my life.
Yeah.
And it's not only so much the strength; it's the mind game, you know. And can you last? Can you let? You know, you see people. All right, we see athletes that are great. You know. Well, look at like Bosworth, man, when he was playing, and he gets in the pros, and he sucks.
Right.
You know, he sucks up a big contract, he disappears. All right. And my whole theory has always been this: I think weightlifting is one of the few, if the only one, if you do it right. And obviously, as we get older, we're going to have to change how we do things. You know.
Right.
But you know, when you think of a guy like John Grimmick, who was in his 80s and still squatting in the threes.
Right.
Wouldn't you like to end up that way instead of some broken ass athlete that was good for a few years and he's done, man?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I always thought this is the way I've always thought and the way I hope to go, you know, other than getting mashed and putting in a hole, I hope, you know, maybe I go down on a platform.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Like Jack LaLanne, those you know, those guys that are still kicking ass when they right before they died, and, you know, he's still competing. It hurts my feelings. Brian Meeks is still competing, and he's 60, and he was at Nationals in 97 when I was there. He was APF, squatted without a belt, you know?
Yeah. How many people would you see do that now without a belt? You know,
he's got to be in his late 60s now.
Well, there's a guy, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Al Montini. He's an all-around lifter. This guy's in his 80s, and he does, I think he still does like one-arm deadlifts, you know, with an Olympic bar. I think over 300 pounds still. This guy's in his early 80s, man. And it's like, you know what I like about it? It's just there's some guys and gals that get the message. They get it. They instinctively, they might not know a lot when they first come to see you, but they've got the instincts, the raw material.
Right.
And it's like if you're a leader and you can kind of just maybe give them a 180-degree turn,
right,
you've got a hell of an athlete there, man.
Give them the right tools, man. I had a client, a fitness client. She was in her 40s, and she was in a you know, submersed in the world of academia. She was Kentucky's teacher of the year a couple of years. You know, just a focused individual, had great genetics. And to watch this woman come, you know, within a few weeks, drop body fat and you know, get excited about the changes in her body, you know, and, you know, she said she was a high achiever anyhow, but she was saying because she was changing the content of what's going on, you know, on the inside, she was starting with her body, how everything else in her life was changing.
Absolutely. And, that, you know, I tell people that have come here and lost weight and stuff, you're never going to achieve anything exterior unless you change your interior.
That's right.
And that's because, you know something, how many people have you met? And I can tell you, I've met women, guys, they look good, and you'll say to them, geez, you look good. And you know what they'll say to you? Well, you know, I look all right. Or, you know, well, what did you do? Well, you know, it's like, I know what's going to happen. Once either you leave wherever you're training or you figure I've made it, I'm okay, I bet you in 6 months you're going to look pretty bad. You're going to be back on the way up, whether it's weight or whatever, because you never settled it inside with you. And if you can't settle that stuff, the outside's coming back, man. It doesn't care. It doesn't care, you know? Let me ask you a question then.
Wait on me.
All right. Say you got a kid coming and he's going to play high school football. You know that, and you know what you're going to do. What I mean, I know you're going to set him on the basic three. What else would I mean, kettlebells probably too. What are you going to do to make a kid like that stand out? And, you know, he comes in, let's just say he's not going to ever be Division I, but this kid's got a crack at, you know, he still might do some stuff. How would you work with a kid like that? A lot different than a guy you think maybe that's going to make it to one, or is it all pretty much the same, just depending on what they can do, their raw tools?
Well, the first thing I would do is I'd have to look at it from an individual standpoint. I got to assess them, and then, you know, a lot of times you could look at a visual assessment. You know, I think we got that FMS. You know, Gray Cook's great, but that whole functional measuring system that they have, I've worked with it before. I've had gone through it at a facility I was at, and I would see people come through me, and I would know exactly what they would be bad at, and I would know exactly what they would be good at just by a visual assessment. And the whole thing about that is, why don't we just work on what we know everybody is going to have problem with. I think it's kind of a selling point because they'd offer this free screen. They'd feel like an idiot when they fell over and they couldn't touch their hands.
Yeah,
you know, the assessments that they do, you already know people are tightening their hip flexors from sitting so much.
Sure.
You know, people have got poor thigh extension. People got poor shoulder mobility. We know, you know. Yeah. But anyhow, my assessment is going to be visual. If they've been, like a lot of athletes do, we got that, Paul Cech calls it the Donald Duck, you know, your hip flexors are tight.
Yep.
I'm going to have to first, before I take them out, you know, on the slalom course, I'm going to have to realign everything, make sure everything's aligned. And usually, and if they've been an athlete for a while, their lower backs are tight.
Yep.
Need to stretch them. Their abs are weak in relation to how damn strong their lower back is.
Mm-hmm.
Their hamstrings are weak. Their hip flexors are so damn tight from all the alactic activity, from all the running, which is the same thing as lifting.
Yep.
So first I would have to, we'd spend the time when we're doing like prehab and rehab shit and seeing what's going on. And then, and this is part of my assessment too, is the squat pattern to see if they got anterior pelvic tilt, they got, you know, butt wink, you know, most of them have anterior pelvic tilt, like I was talking about. But,
Well, you know what I want to tell you about that? That was funny because I was talking someone with another guy today, Steve Helmicki, about that. Now, I do most of my lifting dead stop in a power rack, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, with what I do, you're not going to get a hell of a lot of people to come over and do what I do. You know, not many people want to be out in 20 below carrying rocks or out in snow. It's nothing glamorous where I am, but I've got more than most people do, right, inside and out.
Right.
And out of necessity, you know, most people, you end up rotting out trying to even do that with you. So I had to have something. I had to have a tool where I was safe. So what happened was I started getting into more and more of this dead stop. You know, you're down in the parallel position and you're popping off the rods.
Right.
Same way, you know, obviously a deadlift, you start off the ground anyways, unless you put it in a rack, you know, and do whatever, wherever you want to pull it from on your leg, you know, against your legs. And then obviously, you know, I've got like Viking presses and all that, and that's all dead stop off the rack at the top.
Right.
I found a lot of validity in that for one thing, besides the safety factor, was, especially with the squat, I think everybody tilts until you learn correctly. What I found with that is you got to sit in the hole correctly with that, or that thing's not even going to come off the pins.
Right.
Have you had any experience with the dead stop stuff? Or?
Well, you know, everybody was doing Louis stuff. They were doing box squats and they were doing
right.
them wrong. But anyhow, we would, and me and my partner would do this back, you know, in the early 90s. We would do pause squats and we would do low reps, high volume
mm-hmm.
sets. And
yep.
that's essentially, you know, kind of the same thing. You know,
right.
you're having to stay, if you're in a pause squat, and you're not, you know, in the hole deep, and you're not upright, you're going to do a face
right.
plant.
Absolutely.
Same thing
Absolutely.
You're talking about there when you start in the hole. I think
yep.
it's great strength developer, and it works the same principle
yeah.
as the box squat, because it takes dynamic strength to overcome a static resistance. We all,
Absolutely.
We all know that from Louis. But, you know, I think it's great. And you're saying it feels good on your joints. You do overhead presses like that too?
Yeah, I do. I've got, my buddy's a welder, and we've put a lot of pieces of equipment together just, once again, out of necessity,
right.
because
right.
you're alone, you got to set up. Yeah, I've got, it models for two things. I can do a Viking press with it, I can put it down low in the power rack, and I can do, like, a car deadlift where I'd back into it and pull it like that if I want to. It's a really neat piece of equipment, but... You know, one thing else about the dead stop squat that I really, really, which was good, because I've had it come up, but one thing, if you're not lying correctly, you're not coming out of the hole.
Right.
If you're on one side a little too much and you try to lift it, it's going to drop you right back
yeah.
down on your ass,
yeah.
basically. So those were like the big pluses. You know, you were a power lifter, obviously,
uh-huh.
you know, and I ask anybody that's done any type of heavy lifting, everybody that's been on the show has. What's your favorite lift out of three? Are you a squatter, deadlifter, or you don't have any? There you go, brother. I love the squat.
Well, you know, I am. They talk about, you know, biomechanics. I'm 5'8", maybe, and I'm 200. And my competing, I used to have to cut weight to make 242. So,
yep.
So I had the good ranges. I got strong legs. I could. I've been able to touch the rim of a basketball since I don't know how long.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of that, and you see it in athletes and people, a lot of times that's you're kind of gifted with a certain structure. But I like the attention I got, so I wanted to become better. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And
Absolutely.
Squat was a lift. There's nothing like taking 800-plus pounds on your back and dropping your ass to the floor and coming back up
yep.
with it, man.
Well, that's the thing I always say to people, Travis, is like, well, the deadlift, that's the measure. And I was like, maybe for some people, but I've always had this thing where I like heavy objects on me. I want to see, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see if I can fight through it and get, because look, we know either, it's the same way with a deadlift, the squat, you're either coming up or you're not, all right? And that's it. And there's no excuses, you know, and that's the way
it's deadlift.
Oh yeah,
you put the bar in the deadlift,
dude. Right, the squat, that's like glued to your shoulders, and it's like, man, I better come up or I'm cooked,
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you. I love the squat, and you know, it's too bad. Like, you know, you go in a number of gyms. Not that I've been, I haven't been in a commercial gym. Well, the last gym I was in is when I was in Iceland. I went to Magnus's gym.
Right.
And that's not a, you know, that's not your typical gym. But I'm talking about the gyms that everybody, you know, whether you're talking some type of CrossFit, we've got ones locally here that you pay $10 a month. So you can imagine what you're getting for 10 bucks a month, right?
Right.
You know, you ain't, let me put it this way. You're not using chalk and you're not using Olympic weights. I'm sure of that.
Global gym.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? That's what passes for like a good place now. Like people, I'll say like, where are you? And they're telling me, I'm like, are you out of your friggin' mind? But what it does, what it has is this. They got to have their Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
They got to have their stair steppers or whatever they're running on. They have to have a TV.
Right.
It's like, I could no more. Number one, I would never go into a joint like that because it doesn't have anything I want. But if I had to, I'd friggin' jump out a window. I could no more stand there around those people, man, doing that. But you know what? They don't know any better, man.
Nah.
And they're looking for an easy way. You know, when I go outside, I just describe my yard kind of.
Yeah.
My driveway is 95 feet. When you come up to the garage where everything's inside, the 30 feet just before the garage door is littered with either made stones, natural stones. I've got an 800-pound tire on one side of the garage wall, and I've got about a 300-pounder on the other side. So as you walk in the door, you know, you got two big tires laying there, and there's stuff on the other side. You go in the garage, and, you know, people say to me, how did you ever get all this stuff in there? I was like, I had a plan, man. And, you know, it's not going to accommodate any more than two people. But here's the deal. I've had people walk down my driveway that never came down here. Like, as soon as I started coming down the driveway, I knew this was some no bullshit here. And it was like, that's the thing that I always like to bring to people. It's like, you know, if you're welcomed here, you know when you're coming here, it's probably like with you. They suddenly look and they're like, this is the real deal, man. This is, you know, we aren't pulling up to a Bally's here. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I better be ready to go or I'm going to get my ass slammed right through the ground pretty much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, Arthur Jones, he was a great guy and smart, but he kind of ruined the whole hardcore thing. Used to, you come into a gym, what would you see? You'd see fucking Indian clubs and kettlebells and fixed barbells and, you know, circus dumbbells and stuff like that. You needed, more or less needed a trainer or have a background. Arthur Jones, you know, he comes in, he makes it easy for everybody. And I use machines too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you put in the pin on F and you do that, you know, two times a week this week, and then you go G next week. You know, how hard is that? You know, that's kind of...
Yeah.
But, you know, that was cooler. Those novice gyms were cooler than what we got now.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've got an original. It's the only machine I've got that I've ever liked. I've got an original Arthur Jones pull-off.
That's it, man. Everybody loves
that. If there's ever a machine, that's the machine. That's the epitome of
the upper body squat.
Absolutely.
As opposed
because
to the bench press.
I'll tell you what I do. I love to do. I've got my buddy is well. I got two good people. I got one buddy's a welder, and the other one is a great. He's a cabinet maker, so he can do anything with wood. Yeah. One day we were talking about it. I said, you know, I want dip bars, but I don't need metal, steel. I don't need them to be 10 feet high, so when I strap plates around my waist, you know, I don't end up taking my balls out in the process because I'm trying to get up there, right?
Right.
Well, we did a thing where they're low, and you hardly got to get up. You get up just a tad, and nothing hits. I mean, you can have your because I've got a chain belt, and I'm not talking like a little – I'm talking like a chain you'd use to tow a car with, I use, all
right?
Right. Well, we took these 4x4s, and he built them. He lagged them right in the wall. Not only do you get a grip workout, but you got stability, man, and you're not having to leap up to get up, all right?
That's
so,
true.
I mean, when you're doing these, Travis, I mean, it's serious. And you know what I'll do? I love to go back and forth. I'll go dips.
Cool.
I'll do my neck. And I do the pullover, man.
Yeah.
All right? Now, your butt, you look like you could fly down the street. Your friggin' lats are so friggin' big, okay? So, you know, it's like this stuff has such merit, and people don't even know it exists. And as far as a Nautilus goes, at least I've got the first generation, because you know what? I remember reading an article about that, and those cams that he had in were extremely heavy, like that we've used.
Right.
And they put a lighter cam. I think they call them – I don't know if they're all called spider cams or not, but they're more of a plastic one, because what was happening was – Nautilus was getting so popular, now you had the sector of women coming in.
Right.
And the women couldn't move
right. The
first stage, so they went to the second. And here's something else. I like this one Nautilus 4x4 for the neck.
Right.
So there's a gym by my house, and the guy supposedly was going to sell it. So I go out there, and I was like, it just didn't look like a how am I going to put it? Nautilus, my look of Nautilus was not a white one with red pads, and it looked really, it looked shitty. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it isn't something I'd want in my garage. It looks almost like.
I've been on the exact machine.
Yeah. It looked like it should have had a skirt on it. That's what it reminded me of, all right? So check this out. So I go to the guy, and I said, why are you selling it? I mean, it was in good shape. He goes, and I knew this was all coming. They said lawyers, and I'm like, what? He goes, you know how many people have broken their neck or hurt their neck on a Nautilus machine? I said, you're kidding me. He goes, nope. He says, you know, basically we could lose our shirt if somebody got hurt, so they got rid of them. So I think, I'm pretty sure they're not in many gyms. Not only Nautilus, but, I mean, any kind of neck machine you're not going to find in many clubs anymore.
All right. Well, you know, they went on to do the MedX equipment. There was a good
– right, right.
Four-way neck machine. I was at a facility in Kentucky. We would do the whole MedX rehab thing.
Yep.
But I'm glad to hear you talk about training your damn neck.
Yeah.
Even strength athletes don't even address that enough. And just general fitness people don't do that enough. They won't question anybody doing curls in the, you know, in front of the mirror. But when you put on a neck harness, you start, you know, putting 45-plus around your neck and your – I mean, it looks silly.
Like curls with it, right.
But,
right.
You know, he would have broken his neck if it wasn't for his well-developed biceps, said neurosurgeon ever.
You know?
And I've got these mountain bikers who wreck all the time. Hell yeah, I train their necks. Then the final stages of my – I kind of do my football training in blocks, and the final stage, and I call it Dan John's my go-to guy, and I call it the same thing he does is preparing the armor. Is part of that is getting their neck conditioned, because I don't know if you played ball or not, but that first 2 weeks of carrying around that damn helmet on your head.
Yeah, you're dead.
And also, tired. You know, they've got these, all these youth football league coaches have got to go to these clinics on how to determine a concussion, but nothing on preventing a concussion.
Yep.
And neck training, I mean, I'm really working on a protocol for that, because that's something that I see neglected in strength training.
I agree. Go ahead. You know, I'll tell you one thing. Steve Helmicki, I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah.
He's out in Buffalo. He's a big neck guy.
That's didn't he University of Buffalo, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's got a place called Primordial Strength.
But didn't
he's
he got a gym coat, money of the strength.
I'm not sure of that, but he is big. I mean, he's written numerous books. We did a show last week with him on anti-concussion. People have been eating it up. But you know what the funny thing is, too, Travis, is this. This is one of the main reasons I do the neck, besides, obviously, it can save your life.
You want to look jacked.
Jacked. And when you go out, dude, okay, I look at people I know, an athlete, because I can tell traps and neck.
It's all about posterior chain. Yeah.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. In the concrete jungle, you never know who might take a shot at you. And let me tell you, if they can't bend your neck, they're not putting you down, dude.
That's right. We all know that. Yeah.
Not most people don't know that, you know.
Yeah.
You might not be able to take a big shot, but you're not going to go down when you got a neck that's strong and powerful.
The best fighters and stuff, they got huge traps, huge necks. You know, some of those guys that used to be wrestlers, in college, you can't knock them fuckers.
Won't move them, right?
You know? But
hey, you know, I think a lot of that stuff, this is a thing that I've always been big on. I love doing partials in the power rack. I'll tell you a little reason why. I think when you get those ligaments and tendons and muscles so developed, I mean, because you know, my whole thing is build cable all through your body.
Right.
Number one, when you're like that, you're going to be very hard to move outside, whether
right.
someone's trying to push you around, wrestle you to the ground, whatever. Yeah. Number two, the neck. Number three, the traps. You have a build like that. Unless you're someone's a professional fighter, you should be pretty secure with yourself outside in the real world. Because let's face it, there's a lot of shitheads out there.
Yeah.
That, but you know the funny thing about people like that too, in my experience, is this: it's almost like if they go after somebody like that. Did you ever feel like my buddies that come over will mess around and stuff? If you never experienced putting, what we were talking about was, you know, people putting their hands on you. But did you ever notice somebody that's got tons of power, and it's almost like, you know, you've loaded your muscles up for years with that, and somebody that's never experienced that, it's like you'll see the look on their face, and it's not a look of anything to me but fear.
No.
You know, I mean.
Yeah.
When you suddenly realize that you've gone after the wrong animal, and I'm talking a trained guy or gal, your perception's going to change real quick of why did I do this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I always thought. And,
you're talking about somebody grabs a hold of you and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck, this is real. And that's, you know, grip strength is another thing I talked about having my athletes do farmers carries
yep.
3 days a week. You think about all the nerves that run from your hand that goes all the way up through your arms to your neck. I mean, tell me that's not, one, stimulating growth, and two, just stimulating overall strength. And there's studies, I don't know if it's, you know, some people who have natural grip strength or if they develop it, but people with good grip strength throughout their life, they live longer.
Yep. Absolutely. And I'll tell you another thing. You can disable somebody very easy just with your hands. I'll tell you a story that was interesting. He's no longer with me, but I had a 72-year-old guy here, and he had neuropathy. He had a pacemaker, and at one time he weighed 430. When he came here, he was 260. We got him down to about, I believe, 221 before he left here.
Uh-huh.
And the greatest accomplishment, I think, besides all the weight off him, were two things. Number one, it was great to see him and tell me, like, every few weeks, I'm losing so much weight now, I'm cutting a new hole in my belt, because he had to buy a new one, but he just did it for whatever the reason. Number two, he had lost so much hand strength, he couldn't even open a pickle jar. So I immediately started him out just squeezing tennis balls.
Right.
Then we moved to a softball, and I've got tons of grip stuff here, and I've got Iron Mines grip machine there,
right.
And I've got one from Sorenex too that I love. And I put him on that grip machine with no plate, okay, and we went a little at a time.
Yeah.
Well, you know something, man? It got to the point where he could twist the top right off a jar.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me. Is that real world strength? All right, he's not putting 500 over his head clean and jerk, but it's the same thing to somebody that could never turn a pickle jar cap, and you and I take that for granted. I mean, you and I can probably twist anything we want pretty much off, but these to me, these are like real world successes. I'd rather talk about this with somebody at times than say, I've got this guy, you know, he can pull a 600-pound deadlift, and he's 15 years old. I think that's monumental. Don't get me wrong. But I think as you age and you don't want to let yourself rust out, I think that's big time.
That is huge. I mean, that seems to be, especially in females, that their hands just get so frail and weak. And, you know, you touch your grandmother's hand or an elderly person's hand, they just don't have that, you know, thickness and ligament and tendon strength, and you know that would probably be more effective than, you know, as far as health benefits, than having them lower their body fat.
That, not only that, too, you know what it is? It's all that self-perception. You know, a lot of people, they get older, they're pretty much ready to cash it in, you know, because a lot of times they don't feel like they have any self-worth or people don't need them. And I think, you know, I've been reading a lot of articles, I mean, and they go into these nursing homes, and these are, you know, these are people that, you know, they're still cognizant that what they're dealing with. And I've read articles, man, people in their 80s, they can grow muscle. I mean, they'll put people through these programs, and believe it or not, they do gain, man. You know, they're not going to gain, obviously, like a 20-year-old. But that just goes to show you the body's a remarkable, remarkable piece there. And it's like you can do things. And I just think, as a guy that loves this stuff so much, I hate seeing people give up and just like, okay, I'm 65 years old, I'm retired, and I don't want to do anything anymore. Well, we know what happens then. 2 years down the road, they drop dead.
Right, exactly, because they have nothing. They don't have any goals.
Nothing. Especially men, I think, man. I being a guy, it's like I'm always thinking, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, when all this stuff is over with going to Iceland and all this other stuff I want to do, and I've just started getting into bending a little bit now. And I want to really learn like the old timers used to do, where they'd put chains or, you know, wrap it around their chest and they could break a chain with their breathing. You know, the nail stuff, the horseshoe stuff. We got one guy here. I don't know if you ever heard of him. You probably T-Rex Bankins. And he does all the stuff, the hot water bottles.
Oh, cool.
You know, the axe is where you can come. You know, he's got a blade on it where it'd cut your head off. And he can hold it like, you know, an eighth of an inch from his nose. I mean, I think that's going to be my next big adventure, I hope, maybe for another 10, 15 years. I hope I, with that. Yeah, and then after that, dude, I don't know. I mean, I might be sweeping gyms, you know, like in Rocky. I'll be in one of those type gyms sweeping them. But you know something? I don't ever want to lose that buzz.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't. It's too damn good to give up. And if you don't know anything about it, you'll never understand what we're talking about here. But when you're in the thick of it for decades, it's like you eat it, you know?
Well, it's you know, and it makes you happy. Aristotle, he said that humans can only be happy if they're expressing virtues. So what we're doing, we're getting up every day, we're expressing virtues of commitment and discipline. And that's what makes people happy. They don't understand, you know, you got all these depressants and, you know, everything that people are on. Because they don't work their bodies. They don't breathe. They don't exert themselves. I mean, the body is the mind. We talked about if you want to change the content of your life, start with the content. And if you don't have a 9-to-5 or whatever you did for so many years, I mean, what else is there? I mean,
well, that's the thing. It's like me, like a lot of people lost their jobs, good jobs. And it was like, I've done this forever and I love doing it. And I wish I'd gotten into it when I had a lot more jing, so to speak. But you know what? I probably wasn't ready. And circumstances sometimes forces the best out of you. And,
absolutely.
You know, we're just getting going now. You know, everything is becoming more and more successful. We're going to have a lot of things going, especially in the first quarter next year, and I'm hoping to make a decent living with it. This is what I've decided I want to do the rest of my life, and it could be in all different capacities, obviously, but I got to tell you, and I'm sure you feel the same way, when my feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm not dreading going to work.
No.
And I don't have, you know, a 25-minute commute where everybody's basically flipping each other off, or, you know, they're all acting like they're going to get out of a car and kick your ass. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want that stuff anymore. It's like, you know, if problems present themselves, you have to take care of them. But otherwise, man, live and let live. I want to do my stuff, have a good time, and I'm not going to base my life off, you know, somebody else who's going to flip you off in traffic in the morning, and then the next thing you know, you're in big trouble, man. So, you know, I love the whole aspect of this, the ability to change, the ability to go after new things.
Right.
You know, you succeed, You might take you a year longer than you planned because you get knocked on your can a number of times.
Right.
But that's the stuff that builds champions.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. Through struggle comes strength.
Yep. I totally believe that. Yep. And you know the thing what bothers me more than anything, Travis, is this. When you read 30 million, I believe it was, I read, kids especially in the entire world are obese, man.
Right.
There's no reason for that at all. And I know that that comes with personal responsibility and everything, but one thing I'm trying to do with this show, besides, you know, us educating the lifters and the community like that, you know, we're going to do some pretty special things next year for the kids too.
Yeah.
I would love to get as many kids into this stuff because people have a tendency to say to you, you know, and I'm sure you've heard it like me a number of times, well, what do you do that for? Or, why would you do that and all this? And I'm saying to myself, you understand the theology of weightlifting. You have no idea. You think it's just some dummies out there. And we've got crap like in everything, all right? We know that. But the majority of people I've met, especially through this podcast, are some of the nicest people I've ever dealt with in my life. They're smart people. They're business owners. They're goal-oriented. And you know what? They give their time, man, and how many people give their time like that? And the thing I say to people is this, if you understood what weightlifting, I don't care what you want to call it, strongman, Olympic, whatever you want to call it, if you really understood what it really meant and you developed it within yourself year after year, got better, learned about yourself, you weren't afraid to be alone where you didn't have to have people around you have a good time. You could sit and read a book and be comfortable with yourself, or you could go out to any event by yourself if you wanted to. That's what it's all about, lifting. It's a lifestyle. It's like a call, man.
Yeah.
It's like we're all in this army, and it's like I always equate everything with this to like the Roman Legion. You know, we're going to go out and we're just going to bust heads, man. That's it.
Right. I agree 100%. You know, you talk about some of the people you met, you know, in powerlifting, and, you know, these guys, and it's not the, and I hate to say it because I think bodybuilding's cool too, but they weren't bodybuilders. They were the quote unquote Renaissance men that I've met in this sport. They were trying to not only become the strongest versions, I hate to quote Elliot Hulse, but they're not just trying to be the strongest version of themselves.
Right.
Physically, they're letting it carry over to other aspects of their life.
Without a doubt.
You know,
and
those people are the ones who inspired me. Not how big their damn body was, the people that.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing? A lot of these guys, you've seen them and I've seen them, they come and go.
Right.
When you're, look at, the bottom line is this. When you don't believe 100% in yourself or 100% in what you're doing. And we all have doubt. Look, I've had things I've been doing. It's like, am I going to get through this or not? You know, it seems like week after week, you're not making any progress. You change things. Maybe you come up a little bit. You get slapped back down again. Now, at this point, this is where you got to decide. Am I going to go through it or am I going to turn tail and run? And I think the majority of humans will not turn tail and run because I know with me, there's this mechanism in me. It's like I could go out tonight and say and have the worst shit night ever. And I've done it where I've sat out there and literally yelled, I mean, at myself, where it sounds like I'm getting in a fight with somebody out there. You know, I'll be like, you suck or whatever I'm doing. And it's like, and I'll be saying out there, I'll be like, you know, why am I even doing this anymore? And, blah, 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 like that. But here's the deal. The guys and gals that really understand it, you'll never turn your back on it because, to me, lifting is my best friend. I've got lots of best friends, but lifting is my best friend.
Yeah.
Lifting, to me, and it'll sound crazy, but it's like I've always – it's from me, but, you always can depend on it. You know, it's always there. It brings you great joy, and it can bring you a lot of tragedy, too. But you know what? That's why I love lifting so much, because there's so many things. There's so many pieces there that you get to put together, pull back out, change, you know, and do whatever you want. That's why I said in the beginning of this podcast, it was like, do you realize we're probably in the only sport where we can train this stuff till the day they sink us in a hole?
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. One way or another, regardless of what you've done to yourself, you can still train.
Exactly. And you know something, you know, that's why I say to people, it's like, you can, you know, you want to do body weight? Okay, you go do body weight. You know, for instance, if you can handle a set of farmer's walks, start doing that. There's no, you know, the only limitations other than injury or you've had things where you can't do certain movements, you've got a friggin' wealth of stuff laying there that you can do anything you want. So, you know, I just think that's the big thing. What do you think, I mean, other than the big three, I mean, obviously you like to do farmer's walks. What got you into the farmer's walk? Because, you know, we talked about how strong the farmers, and, you know, you're working 15-hour days, and, you know, you're milking, and you're using those hands all the time, and hay, and this and that. What initially got you into the farmer's walk? Because, you know, I know people do them, but it's more like the strongman side. You'll see that more than that, obviously, when you watch WSM. But you don't, you know, you're not going to see that in a typical quote unquote gym or even one that might even be a little hardcore. What got you fired on that, Travis?
Well, just through, I've trained some female or a female strongman competitor, and, you know, I started integrating. Of course, she wanted to improve her squat, so she got in contact with me. I started doing that, and I needed to know how to weave her powerlifting, her gym stuff in with her implements. So,
yep.
You know, they owned the best way, and I was doing jiu-jitsu and grappling at the time. There's all that metabolic conditioning that's to be derived from that. There's the obvious strength. We talked about grip strength.
Yep.
I mean, all this stuff carries over. The thoracic extension, well, you know, you can choose to have the thoracic extension. I know in strongman it's kind of around the shoulders, but, you know, you can do a few where you're doing pound stone shrugs, where you're doing a scapular retraction. You can hold them like that the whole time. It's just, I like anything that gets you a lot of bang for your buck. You're getting hypertrophy, you're getting all that time under tension, grip strength. We talked about the real world application of that. And the metabolic conditioning. Mm-hmm. I mean, you pick up 125 pounds in each hand and take off running for 100 yards.
Yep.
I don't care who you are. You're going to be winded. You know, for my football players, we were talking about concussion and trap development, neck development that goes on. You know, why not you know, why isn't everybody doing farmer's carry? Why isn't everybody doing loaded carries? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of it is a lot of these, I don't know. I've seen some people in the coaching. It's, I'm not going to put it this way. It's not real impressive. Some of the stuff
some of them are fucking geniuses. You listen to some of the, you know, Dan John. I mean, that's my go-to guy. I mean,
he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like one of those highlight things that you look at the picture and he makes things so clear that we're always there. So we all get back. We were talking about squats. You know, I started reading his stuff several years ago. I started getting back into the squat for hypertrophy. You know. That Rosal Strozen 20 rep squats. Yep. You know, you could just do squats 3 days a week and gain a shit ton of muscle mass all over your body if you're doing squat complexes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I don't know if I'm sure maybe you heard him, maybe not. Bruce Randall was big in the 60s.
Sure, yeah.
Now, that guy would go from, I don't know, close to 400 down to like 220 and win bodybuilding contests.
Right.
And the greatest thing was it was mostly squats and gallons of milk, man.
Right, I've seen those old black and white color.
Oh, yeah. These guys. But, you know, when you're talking about the pound stone movement there, just so you know, He's coming on the show, Derek.
Oh, cool, man. That'll be.
I'm just waiting the shore time up with him. His wife just had a baby, and I got an email from him about 3 days ago, and I'm just waiting to shore up time because he's a real nice guy, man, and he could be very interesting. You know, he's been right. Obviously, we know he just lost to Pujanowski that one year,
right,
with the Stones, but. It'll be very interesting to talk to a guy that's been right at the top level, you know, and he, you know, we'll get a lot of insight. That's very, I can't wait. That's going to be one hell of a show.
Yeah.
Who the hell's going to beat our boy though at the top? I'm trying to think of his name. You know, the guy from. Yeah, who's going to beat Zydrunas, man?
He's going to be there for a while.
And he's old. I mean, he's 30, what, 5'36"?
Yeah, but,
and,
you know, some of these strength athletes, he looks – I don't know that he's had some minor injuries, but I think he'll – he's got a few more years. Who knows?
Well, they all figured that old Thor from Iceland was going to take him. I think Zvikas is just – he's got to have a will like you can't imagine because he's not the prototypical, you know, you look at the guys that have been winning. I mean, you look like an Ahola or you look at a Pugina. I mean, they all look like bodybuilders and I know what's going on with them too, chemically. All right. But I don't care. You look at this guy and he looks like a regular run of the mill. Oh, he's very muscular. Believe me. I'm not diminishing one thing on that guy.
See him, we wouldn't think fat guy.
No.
Think that motherfucker is strong.
Oh, dude, and when you hear him say, I love when they interview him. They're like, when are you going to retire? He says, when I put 500 a log over my head, I'm like, I love it, man. Because it's like all these idiots want to do is like give the guy, I mean, all right, you're giving him credit or whatever, but why? I mean, what, 35, 36, he's got to retire? He doesn't have to retire. And I do believe when he hits that big log, you might see him stick around for a little while longer. But at that point, I mean, what's he got to prove? I mean, he's a winner all the way. And he doesn't just win WSMs, you know. He wins everywhere he goes, man.
Right.
And it's like, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's so interesting to see stuff like that.
Yes, for sure, man. It'll be interesting to see how the rest of his career goes because he is getting to that, that 40-year-old mark where I don't know how old you are, but, damn, that's when shit started.
I know. I'm almost there. Believe me. But the main thing I had is when I went to lift when we were in Iceland in '08, I tore my bicep.
Yeah,
that's really all I've had. But you know that's with strongman. That's quite frequent. I mean, when Steffi was there, he competed with us. He had blown his, you know, in World's Strongest Man, he blew his bicep on an 1,100 pound tire.
Yeah.
He said when he flipped that thing, he just heard it was like a pop, man.
Yeah.
And he tore his right off the bone. So,
right.
I mean.
That's the way they usually do it with tires. Poliquin makes a, I don't know who did it with him, but he's got a strongman book for athletes that he.
Yep.
And somebody helped post him. And he's got, you know, when you're in that sumo position, he calls that the bicep tendon tear position.
Oof.
And I don't know if, I don't know what technique he was using, but a lot of strongmen will take their hands inside their legs and
it just, and do
having
that.
Torn my bicep, it just makes me cringe because they're doing, you know, 1,100 pound curls. You know, that's ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, you know, there comes a point, too. I mean, let's face it. We all want to get stronger and stronger. That's why we like what we do.
Right.
But, you know, I think the human body can take tons. But how are you going to train the human body? What are you going to have to do? Or is it going to take longer to get to that level? Because what I see with that, everything's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like, you know something? You're not going to live too long if you're like 6'1" and you're weighing 410 for a number of years.
Yeah.
And when you're putting that kind of strain on your heart, flipping objects or carrying objects that are getting bigger and bigger. And
that's
I don't know.
Bigger and bigger too. That's a problem with a lot of strength athletes.
Absolutely. And it's like, I would never say, you know, you can't do this, that. I don't believe. I believe in the freedom of all that. That's why I love it so much. Yeah. But there might come a time where, you're going to start seeing more and more of these athletes dropping dead, and somebody's going to have to answer the bell at that point. That stuff I enjoy more than anything. I used to love to watch sports. I don't really watch much sports at all anymore. I like hockey probably the best out of anything now,
right?
Because it's rough, and I just like the way they, you know, you got to be a hell of an athlete to skate up and down that rink over and over again, man. Right. And I used to watch WSM when they had it on ESPN, but obviously it's on CBS now, and I don't have that, so. Yeah. You know, I catch it in Milo magazine and read the results then, or get it off, you know, the WSM website. But I miss not seeing that, you know. But, you know, they discovered on ESPN that those guys were all on steroids. So they didn't want to carry the show anymore. What a load of crap.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah, that's why they took it off. ESPN finally discovered they were all on steroids. Well, I hate to break it to those clowns on ESPN. Just about every sporting event you're carrying, they might be on it on those too. All right, I mean, come on. Obviously somebody probably pissed somebody off, and they're like, "We don't want you." So that's CrossFit pretty much replaced WSM.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yep, that's what they did. It was amazing. I guess I got a few more. We got about 5 more minutes. I don't want to hold you. I mean, we've been on almost an hour, which is usually what we do. I don't know. Give me your top 3 lifts. If not what you're lifting, when you're coaching, and like we were talking about, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. But start an athlete out. Well, you probably would do more in 3 lifts. That's probably not a good question. Give your athlete the lift you think that's going to give them the best bang for the buck, girl or guy.
Well, squat.
Squat. All right.
Yeah.
Now, when we squat with you, are we back squatting, squatting,
front,
both?
Back squatting, just because of the hypertrophy involved. I think a combination of power squats and Olympic squats, targeting Olympic squats hit the quads a little bit more. And, of course, the power squat's going to hit more of the musculature all the way up to the neck. So mostly a lot of my football players, I have them do primarily back squats. Now, when I was training Ani, we worked a lot on front squats because of the application to strongman. I mean, the thoracic extension, even all my general fitness clients, we all do goblet squats, because where is the load? What happens if if your posture gets kyphotic when you're holding a kettlebell under your chin? You'll fall over. So you got to get that thoracic extension. You've got to get your ass in the grass. I think it's a little easier for people to get a little bit more range of motion if the load's in front of them in a front squat or a goblet squat. So it depends on where they are. A lot of my young athletes, we goblet squat first because I've got to develop that strength, that base strength first before I start, loading them and work on them. There's so much even assessment to be done from the squat. So yes, we are going to squat. I can tell what they need to where their weaknesses are and where their lack of flexibility are with the squat. So
I look at if I was a kid and I came to you, I'd be like knocking on your door every day wanting a squat. I mean, I love it. But the whole thing is too. We had talked about overloading. Do you get into overloading with the kids or anybody else older, or is that something you stay away from?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Even older, there's been research done where to build bone density, you've got to load the spine. You've got to take a load on. And granted, I'm not making 60-year-old.
You hear a big crack and they fall to the ground.
Right.
I'm not
chalking her knees and smacking her and liking her a lap smack before a squat. but definitely, some loading depends on where my athletes are in the season. We do squat complexes for hypertrophy. you know, anywhere between 20, no less than 10 reps. You know, if you want to get time under tension, that's what builds muscles. So well, early on, and then as we start going to more of a hybrid complexes, a 5x5, that's always my my go-to. And then right before we start putting on the armor, I've even had Amanda work with some of my players that actually hit them in the damn face. We would box, you know.
I'll tell you, I bet they loved her, man.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I don't know how you couldn't like her. She's got, that girl's got some fire, man. That's why I liked when I talked to her. You know, the funny thing is, too, I don't know, you know, I'm sure, I know you know this, but I've been seeing a lot of studies and blah, 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 because you know how everybody's obsessed with their testosterone and guys can't get it up anymore because of plastics and all the other garbage, which is a lot of truth to it.
Right.
But you know something, you want to release some real tea and some growth hormone, get in that power rack or whatever you're doing, start squatting your ass off.
Yeah, man. Something happens when you take your ass to your ankles. I don't know what
you betcha, man. And it's like, hold on tight, man, because here we go. And it's like, you know, it's things like that that have been around. It's primal, man.
Right.
I'll say it again. Nothing feels better than to have something big on your shoulders and your spine, and you either come up or you dump it or you just get the hell out of the way, because it's the best thing. But I'll tell you one thing tonight, which was great. We were all over the place, and that's what I like doing with this stuff. Well, obviously, we figured out we need traps and neck.
Right.
We need, obviously, some legs.
We need carry shit.
Yep. This is like manly shit. We should have called this the manly.
I like that primal, man. It's it's 100% functional. It's the way we used to live. It's why we're obese now. You mentioned how many of the adolescents are obese, because we don't do stuff like this. We don't squat. Everybody used to. I mean, you look at third world countries. They do everything with their ass and their ankles.
Yep,
no, they don't have the same problems we do.
No, and it's too bad, because it's like it's very hard to change people when they're used to doing something. And how do I walk into a room with 10 obese people that maybe at one time weren't, and I say to them, okay, you know, we're going to learn how to squat tonight. You know, they'd be throwing tomatoes at me, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, get out of here. Yeah. And it's like, you know, at least we were lucky. We've been doing this stuff. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And you know, I if I've done one thing right in my life, this was the best thing I've ever done, because you know what? I've got to grow with it. I've got to live with it. And now I can pretty much do whatever I want with it.
Sure.
And to be able to master yourself in that way is one of the greatest things you do. You talk about an accomplishment, you know, it's unreal. So, you know, tonight's show was killer, man. It was excellent. I want to thank you for coming on. It was a ball, and I hope you'll come back sometime.
Anytime, man. Hey, good luck with David Poundstone and you know.
We'll go.
Anytime you need, if you want me to help with the thing you got coming up with the kids or anything like that, you let me know.
Okay. Well, before we go, I want you to give your website and all that. Then I'm going to sign off, and I'll just say goodbye to you off the air, if that's cool.
Well, the website is actually in the works. I got some hipsters working on that shit right now. So
I'm
going to pay them in craft beer here in Asheville. So. Anyhow, you can go to my Facebook page. It's Travis Futrell, Hybrid Fitness. Check me out.
Okay, is there any? That's the best way they can contact you, right?
That's the best
way. Okay. Well, then I'll sign off here. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We're on Facebook, and we are on. We're Facebook. We're Fiorello Barbell. On Twitter, we're Fiorello Eric. We are on Stitcher and iTunes. Let's see, you can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Got a lot of big stuff coming, but Motivation and Muscle should be all ready to roll tomorrow. And it's a hell of a good-looking sight. I want to thank Eric for all the hard work he's done. So, Travis, thanks once again for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you again. And I guess that's it. We're going to sign off. So, everybody, for Travis Futrell, Eric Fiorello, I want to say goodnight to you, and thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.